It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
I would encourage you today to have your Bible open because we're going to be looking at several different verses, and have a pencil ready to write down these verses because we'll be covering them quickly, and I'd like for you to be able to write those down and follow along and go back and read later on as well. Well, today I'd like for us to look at the subject of homosexuality. Now, I realize this is a touchy subject, and some people believe that there's a gray area involved here with homosexuality. Well, some people are afraid to even mention the word, but there are no gray areas in the Word of God. The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And when it is brought in and we're shown the things in our lives that shouldn't be there, the Word of God is like a sword. It starts cutting, and the Word of God wants us to realize today that there is a biblical perspective concerning homosexuality. Now, what does the Bible teach? Well, homosexuality is contrary to God's original plan for a man and a woman. It's a serious deviation from what God originally designed and established for the good of mankind. As the Lord Jesus himself said, from the beginning it was not so, according to Matthew chapter 19. Homosexuality is a violation of what marriage is according to the Bible. The marriage partner must be the opposite sex. Throughout the Bible, in both the Old and New Testaments, homosexuality is strongly condemned by the living God. If you do not believe the Word of God, then you're not going to believe what I tell you as we look into the Word of God today. A person, first of all, needs to be saved and know that they are on their way to heaven. They need to trust Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. The Bible says that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. That means anyone in this world. There's no excuse for a person dying and going to hell. If you don't believe the Bible, then you're not going to believe what you're about to look at that comes directly from the Word of God. Well, let's look at some passages where homosexuality is mentioned in the Bible. First, we see the sin of sodomy. In Genesis chapter 18, verse 20, it says, "And the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous." If you've read the Bible, you know the story of the account of Sodom and Gomorrah. And let's read more here in verses 4 through 9 of Genesis 19. It says there, "But before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round, both old and young, all the people from every quarter. And they called unto Lot, and said unto him, Where are the men which came into thee this night? Bring them out unto us, that we may know them." And this word "know" means in a sexual way. Verse 6 continues by saying, "And Lot went out at the door unto them, and shut the door after him, and said, I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. Behold now, I have two daughters which have not known man. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you, and do ye to them as is good in your eyes. Only unto these men do nothing, for therefore came they under the shadow of my roof. And they said, Stand back. And they said again, This one fellow came in to sojourn, and he will needs be a judge. Now will we deal worse with thee than with them. And they pressed sore upon the man, even Lot, and came near to break the door." What they were saying is Lot came in, and he's not one of them according to this. According to what we're reading here, he wasn't like them, but yet he was not taking a stand here. He was not doing what was right. He went so far as to offer his daughters to these people. Now, the new perversion, I should say, that the homosexual community has come up with is called the Queen James Bible. Queen James, not the King James that I use, but the Queen James. They've turned things around. They say that this account that I've just read to you in Genesis 19 is not an account of homosexual trying to get to these men as such. And of course, they will admit that these are homosexuals that want to rape someone. And they say that this is what is wrong here. In other words, they're saying these homosexuals were different than others. They were just actually going to rape these men. They were different. They're not like a regular homosexual. But the Bible teaches me that anything that is contrary to the Word of God is wrong. The Bible, if we don't look at it as a fairy tale, then we're going to admit that the sin of sodomy is wrong in the sight of God. And we're going to look further into this right now. And I'd like for you and us together to look at some important observations here. God's evaluation of the enormity and weightiness of the sin of sodomy. Let's look at that. Genesis 18:20 says, "The Lord said, their sin is very grievous." In other words, it's very heavy. It's really bad, according to what God said. I also see that the sodomites, thinking the two angels were men, lusted after them. "Bring them out unto us that we may know them sexually," is what they're saying. Genesis chapter 19 and verse 5. Well, the sodomites were not interested in women, according to Genesis 19, verses 8 and 9. Even Lot's offer of his own daughters could not satisfy the unnatural desires of the perverts. Then I also see that this terrible and dreadful sin was repeated in the land of Israel during the period of the judges, when every man did that which was right in his own eyes, Judges chapter 19. I also see that judgment came to these people of Sodom. The Sodomite men were struck with blindness, according to Genesis chapter 19 and verse 11. And their city was burned by fire, Genesis 19 verses 28 and 29. Their pride and prosperity and abundance of idleness, as we look at this, the idleness and such things most often lead to moral looseness and lewd immorality. Ezekiel chapter 16 verse 49 says, "Behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom. Pride, fullness of bread, and abundance of idleness was in her and in her daughters. Neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and needy." And folks, that's where our country is right now. We are swelled up with pride. There's no one like us in the world. We'd better get that out of our minds, because we're simply human beings like everybody else. Fullness of bread. And that verse says in Ezekiel chapter 16, verse 49, fullness of bread, we have no need of anything. We are full. We are very prosperous. That's our country's attitude today. And we read on, and it goes on there saying the abundance of idleness. But we've got too much time on our hands according to what we see and we look around. Everyone has an iPhone stuck to their ear. Everyone has a tablet that they're looking at. The social networks are crowded with individuals, millions of people who have too much time on their hands, too much time to read the Bible. Well, I think not. People need to take the time to read the Word of God, and we wouldn't, and if that happened, we wouldn't have so much confusion as homosexuality in this country. I'll also see that the sin of the Sodomites is mentioned twice in the New Testament as a warning to those who should live ungodly today. They live ungodly. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 6, it says, "And turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemn them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly." God says what they did was ungodly. God said their lifestyle was ungodly. Jude chapter 1 and verse 7 says, "Even as Sodom and Gomorrah, and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire." And we're sometimes told that the sin of the Sodomites was not homosexuality. And I mentioned this earlier, but it was homosexual rape, according to some. This is what they've tried to change it to. Well, those who justify homosexuality try to argue that it is not wrong for a man to engage in sex with a man, but it is wrong to force himself upon another man who is not consenting. Does God allow consensual homosexuality? Consensual means by mutual consent. Is it permissible and lawful for a man to engage in sex with another man? Consider this next point that I would give you. Homosexuality, according to the Bible in Leviticus 18:22, is shameful. It says, "Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is abomination." Now, folks, homosexuality is an abomination. It's shameful, according to that verse. For a man to lie sexually with another man or a woman to lie with another woman is here strongly forbidden. In the following verse, Leviticus 18, verse 23, bestiality is forbidden because it is a perversion. These were the very sins being practiced by the heathen in the land of Palestine, according to Leviticus chapter 18, verse 22. And that verse that we read says this, "Thou shalt not." This is the strongest way in the Hebrew language to tell a person not to do something. This is the same formula found in many of the Ten Commandments. It's an absolute prohibition, and it could be translated like this, "Thou shalt never." Literally, the verse says, "Neither lie with a male as one lies with a female." That is, in a sexual way. What does God think about homosexuality? The verse says, "It is an abomination." This means it is detestable, loathsome, repulsive, and heinous. It is one of the strongest words to describe God's hatred of something. It is a stench in God's nostrils like the smell of vomit. It is something that is disgusting, nauseating, revolting, and sickening to God. The reason it is an abomination is that it is so contrary to what God has designed and established for the good of mankind. And you don't agree? Well, you need to take it up with God. Let God answer the question for you as we've been reading in His Word. If you don't believe the Word of God, then you do not believe in Jesus Christ, that He came to this world to seek and to save those who are lost. If you do not believe God, you're not going to believe me when I read His Word as we go through this study. Well, to understand more fully the seriousness of the sin of homosexuality and others like it, you need to read Leviticus chapter 18, verses 24 through 30. Now, in these verses, the very acts defile the land according to verses 24 and 25. And because of these abominable practices, God removed or vomited out certain nations from the land of Palestine. And you need to study this. You need to look at it. You need to look at it from God's perspective, not from man's, but from God's. And my question for you today is, do you know Jesus as your Savior? God hates the sin of homosexuality, but He loves the homosexual. For me, that's hard to understand sometimes, but I know the Bible teaches that God loves everyone. And that means to me that God can save anyone. You see, your Savior today. Anyone can be saved. They will simply call upon the name of the Lord. Admit you're a sinner. Admit that you can't save yourself. And you want Jesus Christ as your Savior. You believe God's Word, and you're going to take Him at His Word when He says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." That's anyone. God's willing to save sinners because Jesus Christ came into the world to seek and to save those who were lost.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.